independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Because I never said repeal it and replace it within 64 days. I have a long time, but I want to have a great health care bill and plan, and we will.
We will, just not today. We're gonna. Not this second. Did not happen. I have an opinion of why I believe it did not happen. And that opinion is, I don't think the Republicans really wanted to do something. I know what you're going to say. Feel free to do it. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the number to call. You can also text the program, 323-538-2423. And, of course, at Chad Benson Show, you can tweet at me. Nobody wants anything to do with health care. Health care is a no-win situation. The Democrats thought, well, we'll get something. We'll do this. Maybe one day it'll work. Eventually, it'll probably implode, and then we can have socialized medicine, single-payer system. That's kind of been their thought for many, many moons, and that's the only way it's probably going to happen in this country. What they didn't count on was the backlash, losing as much as they have lost in the subsequent 7 years since this thing took effect. They didn't see that coming. Republicans, they want any part of this. They're standing there going, okay, wait a minute here. So if we take this on, we might lose a bunch. So I don't know if I really want to be a part of that. Yeah. I'm telling you guys right now, I don't think they want to be a part of this. Maybe I'm wrong. But I feel that the Republicans are looking at this as a no-win situation as it stands now. So what do you do? First and foremost, as I said yesterday, you leave it to the Democrats. It's your thing. You own it. It's all yours. What do you think of that? This is all yours, yours, yours. You own each and every piece of this.
I think the losers are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, because now they own Obamacare. They own it. 100% own it.
Let them own it. Tell the world you try to do everything possible. They didn't want to play. They didn't want to come over. They wanted none of that. Let them have it. Get back out there. Don't quit. Do what you possibly can. But it's about politics. It's not about healthcare. We think it's about healthcare, right? We as individuals, you and I, and collectively as a nation probably, we think this is about healthcare. It's about helping the person. It's not about helping the person. It's not about any of that stuff. This doesn't help anybody. In the end, I don't think this bill would have done much. Now they talk about, well, we have phase two and we have phase three and we have phase four. And if Tom Price would have got involved, what you see today isn't what was going to be there, and this was going to be a tremendous bill, and it was going to help everybody. It was going to be bigly. The truth is, this isn't about healthcare. This is about politics, and we're caught in the middle of it. But unlike other things that are caught in the middle of it, so are our bank accounts, because we're seeing the fact that we have a lot of money to pay for a floundering system that is dying under its own weight. I think the Republicans looked up and said, look, there's no political points to be made here whatsoever. Zero political points. Zero. And remember, and I, as I tried to explain to somebody this week, and they finally got it. This is about politics and premiums. The two P's. Politically, it's a time bomb. Whoever's standing there holding it last is going to lose. Republicans don't want to own it. Being on the offense for several years is much easier than playing defense. It's about premiums. What's it cost me on the front end? I don't care what I save on the back end, right? I don't care what I save on the back end. because most people aren't living in the back-end lifestyle where they're like, you know what, I'll take a couple tax write-offs. I'll get that back later on this year. It's no big deal. Most people don't have that. It's about politics and premiums. And they're looking around going, you know what? We roll this thing out. What do we get here? We finally own it. And if we finally own it and it goes south, we're going to be in the same situation. But we're going to have a one-term president because he's going to take the heat for it. And we're going to lose a bunch of seats. And then we're going to look up in 4 years and there's going to be other people sitting there who are going to be running this thing. So you let it collapse. You let it die on its own. It's going to eventually, right? You've got more people that are paying the penalty than buying it, right? You look around, you've got all of these people are just like, screw it. You know what? I'll pay the penalty. On top of that, right? On top of that, you've got plenty of people out there that are saying to themselves, okay, you know what? I'm going to insure my kids. I'm not going to insure myself. Oh, wow. You're not going to do that? No. I'll insure my kids, right? I'll insure my wife. I'll insure my husband. We can't afford it. Oh, yeah. Okay, we can afford it, but we're going to have to get such a massive deductible, and we're going to have to get rid of a car because we can't have both. Somebody texted me yesterday. Hey, you know what? It was my mortgage or it was my premiums. That's the choices some people are making. Again, it's about the premiums. Politics and the premiums. Republicans want power. They don't want to lose the power. They just got the power. They're now a team that is on the defense because they can be. That's why I said, throw it to Pelosi. Throw it to Schumer. You guys own this thing. You broke it. Fine. Your ship's sinking. You're taking everybody else. You're praising today as this amazing deal for Americans. When Americans are looking at their premiums going through the roof, next year it's going to be worse. Places like Tennessee may not even have an insurer next year. Many counties don't have anything. But you guys go for it. You have fun because it's done you so well. If I'm the Republicans, I let it fall flat. And it sounds horrible. Again, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. But if I'm a Republican, I let it fall flat. You can put up all of the facade, right? You can throw it all up there. Well, I don't want this to happen. And I'm going to fight hard. And you guys put me here specifically to go there to fight and to repeal this thing. And that's what I'm going to do. And you could put that all up. But in truth, you want any part of this. It is a no-win until it dies. And once it dies, it becomes a win. Once it dies, it becomes the opportunity for you to go, worst case scenario is we tie. We can't lose. Best case scenario is we do something good and we win. Going in with that attitude is much better than saying we're going to have our name all over this and we all could be recalled. I mean, we could all be voted out. Some of us may be recalled. We're screwed. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Mike and Cali, what's happening?
Hello.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, brother?
I didn't hear the name. Hey, two things. First thing is my experience with Obamacare was that my premiums went from about $500 a month up to about $1,400 a month, and the deductible is like $6,000 or $7,000, something like that. So it's essentially useless.
Yeah.
You know, for me, because I don't have major operations and that sort of thing. So it's paying, you know, more than twice for nothing, basically. But the other thing is that I think, you know, this is a dynamic situation. And I think because this has given Democrats a huge win in their sales now, that I think this almost ensures that single payer is going to come. Because it is going to collapse, but people, because they're not happy with Republicans from this failure, and Democrats have gained so much steam, the fix is going to be, well, we need to do single payer.
It's, you know, look, I have said all along that is their major goal. Single payer is what they want. single payer. Just because you get it doesn't mean it's going to be great. I appreciate your call, man. We got to jump. And I'm telling you guys this right now. Single payer is going to come here eventually. It is. But it's not going to come here the way we see it in Europe. There will be a mixture of two. There will be. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. David in California, what's happening?
Yeah, how are you, Chad? It's not morning, is it? Are you in Guam?
No. No, actually, you can hear us in Guam. I do believe we are in Guam, actually.
Yeah, but it's probably midnight or later than that out there. Hey, you know, to me, it's an insult to hear Americans fighting to make health care worse. You know, if you think about, you know, all the way back in early American history, a small town out in the edge of, you know, the wilderness or something like that, they would crawl through glass to get a clinic in town. A hospital was a dream that took decades to get. And the idea that we're having city council people and county council people and even state legislators shutting down hospitals, you know, because they say, oh, it's too expensive to have a hospital. We'll consolidate them with this company. And they get some crony company to come and move in and buy up five hospitals and shut them down to one. Well, that just defies logic. You know, because if you got a broken leg, if you got a twisted knee, you know, you don't need to have a whole bunch of bureaucrats telling you that you got to drive 75 miles to get to a clinic. And the idea that clinics are cheaper and smarter, it's better to have some quick, immediate care. You're going to be able to save a huge amount of money if you can have it seen early and fast. Rather than having to wait for a ride to go 75 miles to get a splinter out. And the idea that we've allowed a whole bunch of phonies to take something logical and tear it up, and it's taken 30 years to get this bad, and now politicians are begging to make it worse.
Well, and we got to jump, my man. I appreciate your call. And you're right there. Politicians love to do this stuff. They love to make it worse, and they're going to make it worse. And right now, I think the Republicans have put the ball back in the Democrats' court. We'll see how real this is, how much they really wanted to own it, because this is the last chance for them to play a little offense against the Democrats. Give it to them. But you know what? He's right, man. I'm sick and tired of too many people in Washington have too much to do with our lives, and the Republicans... This is where you need to be on the front foot blaming the Democrats for this because they wanted to get more involved and they took control of healthcare and now we're SOL. You know what we should do? Phil, we need to get some flowers out there. Yeah, so I'm going to call Pro Flower. Yeah, Pro Flowers. Yeah, just a sad day. Sad day for you guys. Now, Pro Flowers is, first of all, they're amazing, but they've done something that all of us guys will be like, that's the greatest idea ever. We always forget dates. We always forget anniversaries. Wife, girlfriend, maybe her husband, whatever it is, we forget. Mom's birthday, I did that to this day. My mom's had like 65, 70 birthdays, whatever it is. I remember none of them except the one I forgot. And she still reminds me of it. That was like 40 years ago. ProFlowers launched a brand new thing called ProGifter Service. It's a brand new service, right? Easiest fail-proof way to always remember. The service allows you to schedule 3 bouquet deliveries to 3 addresses up to a year in advance. 3 bouquets with vases and free shipping for $99. That's a $70 savings. You'll look amazing throughout the year. They buy directly from the best growers. 7-day freshness guaranteed. 7-point quality check right before they're shipped. It's a fail-proof way to look amazing all the time. I know you're thinking right now of an occasion that you should send flowers for right now. Go to proflowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner right on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery dates, and boom, you're done. That's proflowers.com, proflowers.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 sucks and 10 rocks, welcome to Talk Radio's 11. It's the Chad Benson Show.
These guys are 11.
We'll probably be going right now for tax reform, which we could have done earlier, but this really would have worked out better if we could have had some Democrat support. Remember this, we had no Democrat support.
Should have done. Should have done. Should have done. Should have done. They asked today, Trump, what are you going to do next? Tax reform. Should have done tax reform first. Should have built up some momentum. That's what you should have done. Tax reform. People want jobs. And while you aren't going to be providing jobs, fixing regulations and taxes will bring the opportunity for big companies to bring back work here, to repatriate some of that offshore money. And in doing so, will give people confidence in the economy, which will eventually spur spending, which will create jobs. That's what people want. They know that healthcare is not going to be tomorrow, even if you guys got something through. They realize it may take a while. What they don't want is floundering in this, because they think that you can do some things that will speed up a process of starting to get the engine revved up here when it comes to the economy. And I agree 110%. You should have been focusing on this first. And you painted yourself into some sort of box by saying, well, we really need this or we can't do that. Well, now you're going to have to try to do that. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Joining us next is going to be Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. We're going to talk to her about all of this debacle. Where do people go from here? Get her feeling. Is it possible that the Republicans really want nothing to do with this? Is it possible there are people inside that are like, man, I don't want to touch this thing? I think it's true. I absolutely think there are several Republicans that want nothing to do with this. We'll get her response about what's happening there and where the Republicans go from here. 844-DIG-CHAD's the number. Put that in your phone. You also text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. President of the Galen Institute, Grace Marie Turner, joins us next. Chad Benson Show.
Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I spoke to the president just a little while ago. And I told him that the best thing I think to do is to pull this bill, and he agreed with that decision.
And you did that. They should have played that today on the floor. Come on, everybody. We need to laugh, right? Because if we don't laugh, you'll cry. Joining us now is Grace Marie Turner, founder and president of the Trustee Galen Institute. Grace, not a good day for the Republicans.
Oh my goodness! It really is a catastrophe. They have worked. They said that they threw this together in a few weeks. They have been working for 15 months, developing this legislation, trying to build consensus in the House, having it be good policy, creating the pathway to get it through the Senate without having a filibuster, and for it to end this way is an undeniable defeat. For the Republicans, it's an undeniable defeat for the president because it makes everything he's going to do from here on much more difficult.
You know, they said they've been putting it together for 2 weeks. Then it's 15 months, and we've heard about all the fake show votes about repealing Obamacare. But there is some egg on the face here because for almost, 7+ years, they have been whining and moaning about Obamacare and how they need to get rid of it. And when push came to shove, they weren't ready for primetime with this. And that's embarrassing if I am Paul Ryan and the rest of the Republicans right now.
It is. However, there were a number of members who had developed very comprehensive replacement plans. We have a list of them on our ObamacareWatch.org website. Go to solutions, ObamacareWatch.org. It's as long as your arm. But the problem is, it's sort of like the Republican primary in 2016, there were maybe too many plans, too many candidates. And it was very hard for them then to coalesce around one consensus plan. Everybody found something in this they did not like. The thing about legislation that gets it through is when everybody finds something they do like. This worked the opposite way for Republicans. They're just too independent. They want to have it go 100% their way or they're going to vote against it. And look what happened. That's what they got. Now the Freedom Caucus folks are saying, oh, well, there was a lot in here that we could work with. Well, why are you telling us this now?
Off with their heads. I mean, wouldn't that be good? Off with their heads. I mean, I think that's the way that Trump's feeling that right now. What do you think he's thinking
about how he's feeling? Very, very gracious in his news conference, you know, praising Paul Ryan for the work he did, praising Dr. Price, Mike Pence. I'm telling you, those, the three of them, the president, the vice president, and Secretary Price, HHS secretary, did an incredible job. They were working until midnight themselves. The president himself lobbied either in person on the phone 120. That's half of the members of the Republican caucus. And he still couldn't come up with a vote because they just decided that they needed to have a show of force, I guess. I don't know. The Republican caucus, the Freedom Caucus, the disingenuous part of this is that they were asked, what do you need to bring your caucus members over to vote for this? And they gave them a list. We need the essential health benefits, two or three other things. They put that in, and then they changed the goalpost. And not only when they put that in, then the speaker lost more members. He said, well, I don't like that. So they wound up having the bill became worse. Plus, they lost one of the major tax cuts when the Freedom Caucus started to negotiate. The bill became worse when they finally put their cards on the table. Their hand was a bluff.
Oh, it's crazy. Talking to Grace Marie Turner here. She's the president of the Galen Institute. This is my opinion, and I threw it out there earlier. I believe there are a number of Republicans who quietly don't want Obamacare to go away because they realize it could be the death of them. And they're just going to, because like you said, they gave him everything they wanted. And then all of a sudden, these people over here wanted to leave. So they had to go over and say, well, put $15 billion in so you can get some of this stuff back. It didn't seem to matter what you did, because I think secretly there are plenty of them out there who they don't want to touch any of this. This is a hot potato. They're looking at the Democrats and saying, man, 7 years ago, you guys had it all. If we touch it, we're going to end up like you.
And in some ways, the problem with the Republicans is they're in a lose-lose position. And you're right. Whatever they did to Obamacare, whatever happens from now on would have been their fault. But it's still their fault because it's going to implode. You're going to find that in 1,000 counties around the country, people who are on the exchanges have a tax credit they can use to help offset the cost of their premiums, but there will be no plans offering coverage in those exchanges, so they will have nowhere to go to get coverage. So the Republicans are going to be blamed for that because they didn't fix it. So I think Republicans were in a lose-lose position, and I also frankly think that there are some senators who are secretly happy because now they don't have to vote on this. And at least the speaker pulled the measure before it came to a vote when he knew it was going to lose, so people didn't have to put themselves on record for a vote that ultimately would have put them in, again, this lose-lose position. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't in voting to replace Obamacare.
Talking to Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Okay, Grace, so here I look at this, and as I said yesterday, the fight hasn't even begun, because let's just say it got to the House, got to the Senate. That fight was going to be ugly as well. So some of those senators are like, whew, I'm off the hook. Is there not an opportunity here, though, to win by saying, hey, you know what, Nancy and Chuck and all of you guys out there, you can smile and say today's a great day for America, but this thing's going down eventually. Is there a way for them to go, let's figure this out. Let's let this thing implode, and then we could be there to save it. Because the worst case scenario at that time is it's a tie if it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the president was really indicating that in his Oval Office news conference this evening, where he said, we really have to have Democrats work with us in saving this. And the way that's going to happen is either in very small steps. The House actually took votes on a couple of bills this week that got significant Democratic support. One, all but seven Democrats voted for it. It was breaking antitrust and, you know, state monopolies over health insurance, giving people the chance to buy policies across state line. That passed in the House with Democratic support. And so I think there are targeted bills that they could begin to get through, doing things like making sure that the plans have the resources so that they will stay in the exchanges. Maybe focused bills are something that they can do instead of trying to do it all in one bill. The problem is that you're never going to get the transformative reform that you could have had of the awful Medicaid program. That's really one of the things that the American Health Care Act would have done, is finally reform this program that is not fulfilling its mission of taking care of the people who are most vulnerable in our society. They cannot find a doctor to see them, especially a specialist. It is bankrupting the states. People feel they have a Medicaid card, but they do not have access to care, and they have the indignity of having to go wait in a hospital emergency room, sometimes for hours, to get just routine care because they can't find a doctor to see them. There was going to be an opportunity for the states to finally begin to give this program some new life, to make it their own, to use state resources as well as some federal resources to modernize Medicare. I don't see a path for that now, and that is truly a shame.
Talking to Grace Marie Turner from the Galen Institute. She's the president there. Free markets, that's what we always want. We want this kind of stuff. We look around. Healthcare, you know, it is a complex situation. It's a situation that is the death knell for many politicians. And I've lived in a single-payer system. I lived in Europe for a number of years. There's no doubt that the Democrats realize that this thing's going to implode at some point in time. Is there any way that these two can get together, any way, shape, or form, and do something actually smart? Because for me, I said, look, this is about politics, and first and foremost, for the people, it's about premiums. We don't, you know, we realize we're never going to, if you get to $10,000 in your deductible, you got a lot of problems. You know, we realize we're probably not going to get there, but it's about being able to afford the fact that you may have to spend $100,000 one day because you get cancer. So if you know, it's that safety net, and we want to be able to afford premiums and not spend $1,000 a month on premiums. Can we get there?
I do think there may be an opportunity in the Senate, especially, because as we get closer to the 2018 elections, the 24, 25 senators, Democratic senators who are up for reelection are going to start looking at their what they want to be campaigning on. And if we see Obamacare collapsing around us, and the Congress has tried to fix it, because really this was a rescue mission for Obamacare. They couldn't tell that to the caucus, but they knew that they had an obligation to govern, to make sure millions of people weren't harmed as this law collapses. So maybe if those senators, and 10 of us of the Democratic senators, are up for reelection in states that Trump carried. So having him work with them, try to put together a bipartisan bill, maybe that's the silver lining in all of this, that we can figure out a way to get enough Democrats to come along so that it can truly be bipartisan reform. Once again, no one's going to love it, but not at least we have to have something that is not hated by so many people as this bill became to be, mostly, I think, because of a lack of understanding of what was in it and what it did.
Grace, last question. I'll let you go. I appreciate you coming on tonight. Give us a snapshot 6 months from now. Have they figured something out, or are we going to be going, man, this thing's going down, and we're just going to all have to suck up another couple of years of high premiums because the Republicans aren't going to get anything done?
I think that you will find that next year the premiums will be at least as high as they were this year. It's going to be too late to fix them for next year. Those premiums start to get filed in the spring and in the early summer. But I think that if we can see that we're on a path to beginning to do targeted reforms with some bipartisan support, that over the long term, and healthcare in a $3 trillion economy is the long term, and they also may be able to do some things to give people relief as part of the tax reform bill. So that's a must pass. That's absolutely top of the president's agenda. It would have been easier to do health reform first because there's some savings there they could have used for tax reform. But there are going to be opportunities to do some of these fixes in the tax reform bill that likely is going to be considered this summer. They walked away here from a $1 trillion tax cut. These are the most conservative members of the Republican caucus that went away, that walked away from a tax cut of $1 trillion, cuts of federal spending of $1.2 trillion, and a deficit reduction bill that would have reduced the deficit by more than $300 billion. That's what the conservatives have walked away from. We're not getting that back, but I think we can get a rescue mission back through tax reform.
We appreciate you coming on today. Grace Marie Turner there. She knows it inside and out and has some real ideas out there. And hopefully next time we talk, we'll be able to go, ha-ha, they got something done. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Nice to talk with you.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of them out there that wanted no part of this. They stayed away. You can give them anything you wanted, and they were going to stay away. And they were going to say, well, we were thinking about it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. How dirty is your phone? When you hear this, you're going to want to go wash your hands. Straight ahead. Say, what? Chad Benson Show.
Fresh, farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man, I'm hungry. Producer Phil, what are you doing tonight for dinner?
I don't know yet. I'll probably run over to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, you know what? It's probably a great night, too, because you watch the basketball games, of which I'm in 14,000th place. You have no idea how proud I am, even though my team that I picked jacked the pooch last night to Xavier. What are they, the Pirates, the Musketeers? Doesn't matter. They beat Arizona, who I picked to win it all. I went from 29,000 to 14,000th place. The pride in my voice. You guys understand, there are 13.3 million people playing this. I'm in 14,000th position, tied with another like 10,000 people. So realistically, I'm awesome, even though my team jacked the pooch. But tonight may be, I think tonight is like the marquee matchup. I think a lot of people earlier this year, and UCLA was like number 10, and Kentucky was number 1, and they'd won 66 games in a row, and UCLA went to Kentucky and beat Kentucky, and this is kind of the rematch, and tonight, I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be one of those games. Hopefully a game for the ages, right, when they say that? It's a game for the ages. A lot of people texting in saying, Chad, you know what? There may be some truth in what you say. I know, right? I just have a feeling that there are people out there who, inside of this political machine, that are looking around going, you know what? I don't want to vote on this. I don't care what you give me. This is just bad juju. You can text the program 323-538-2423. You have a phone. It's in your hand. It's your smartphone. Researchers at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Somebody works there. That's somebody's job. Hygiene and tropical medicine. Like, of all of the things that go into medicine-wise, hygiene and tropical medicine. They found fecal matter on one out of every six smartphones. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? And a famed University of Arizona microbiologist, University of Arizona. First of all, not happy, and nobody's a famed biologist from there. Just letting you guys know. Found cell phones carry 10 times the bacteria of most toilet seats. Familiar items we touch every day, from cell phones to kitchen sinks, swarm with far more germs than toilets. 80% of infections come from what we touch And they're usually ordinary items that we don't actually clean that much comparatively to what we do when we clean the toilet, kitchen sink, playground equipment, reusable shopping bags, and of course, electronic devices. Gerber, the famed Arizona microbiologist, said multiple people touch and share items such as iPads, channel changers. Eventually, somebody gets sick, and guess what happens? Boom. It gets traded around. My goodness me. So think about that. Next time you go in, that's why you should have a instead of the newspaper that many people used to take into the bathroom, why not just have your own device that's hooked up wirelessly that's just in there? Right? So you could just surf the net. And then you got to clear the browser, right? The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Here's something gross. Even worse, a damp kitchen sponge found can be 200,000 times more dirtier than your toilet. Think about that next time you go to wash something. Just think about it. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. Grab your podcast from there. iTunes as well. Solid Fun Friday. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.